This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
This is the biggest disaster of a show open, and I love it.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Like, you wanted to have your discussion about like the sports movies thing and High School Musical being a de facto sports movie.
Yes, I did catch
wind. Which then drew the ire of Evan on Saturday last week.
Yeah, it had me making shots from the foot of the stage on an actual net. And after each shot was, he shoots, he scores. If I missed, the whole thing is derailed.
You are either Steph Curry or this whole thing is ruined.
Yeah.
On WGR.
I have personal. Evan, yeah. Do you take anything back?
No.
It's okay. He's dying on the hill. It's fine.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Happy weekend. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you on another Sports Talk Saturday as we are soaring and flying into the weekend. March Madness, Bills off season. Sabres scored on themselves last we saw them. There's a lot to do, there's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot to get into and have fun with here today on WGR. We'll be right into it in just a few moments as Ryan Talbot will join us in a couple moments here as well. Joe?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it's a morning where I don't wake up and see a highlight of the Sabres scoring on themselves, so it's good.
It's good, and also, I mean, we've been doing a couple shows throughout the week, filling on the nightcap for Zach Jones. The two of us were hanging out over the last couple days on Wednesday and Thursday, so, you know, we're just going to keep getting into a groove here.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to make one comment. I don't want to die too hard on the hill. With
okay.
The Sabres, but I just have one thing to say about that game.
I'm worried. Joseph. He's got the soundboard back today, I see.
I do have the soundboard back, and yes.
Son that of is, a bitch.
There's nothing I can do that better fits how I feel about that than that.
Oh, no.
So that's how we're kicking it off today.
All right.
Listen, brackets for me, I know we're gonna talk with Ryan in a few minutes here. But brackets for me are alive. I don't know about you.
Oh,
where
yes.
Are you at?
I mean, I'm doing all right. I had a couple of my upset picks falter on me yesterday, but you know, that is what it is. And you know what, though? Today, though, once we hit noon, I'm going to be sweating bullets because my ill-advised champion pick,
Purdue takes on McNeese at 12:10.
So, yes, I have Purdue advancing over McNeese.
Yes,
so.
I'm going to feel a little nervous about that, but you know, at 12:10, I'm going to be boiling up. So let's see what we got. But what else we got, though, is plenty to talk about here with the Bills offseason. And to do that, we bring in an old friend that we haven't talked to in a little while, and Ryan Talbot with New York Upstate, co-host with the Shout podcast with Matt Perino, joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Ryan, it's Derek, it's Joe, it's a Saturday morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, and happy to have you. Good to hear from you again, Ryan. How you feeling? You enjoying all this college ball on the televisions?
I am. I've been watching quite a bit of the games, and I have Duke winning it all this year. They made a statement, but there's a lot of teams that, especially the one seeds, that have come out, and they've looked the part here in the first round.
Yeah, there were no, outside of like a small scare in the first half, I do believe, with, I think it was South Alabama against, I think it was Auburn. There was a little bit of a scare heading into the end of the first half, but outside of that, there was no real nightmare scenario for many of those one seeds.
No, not at all. And Florida looked great yesterday, and a lot of really talented teams that could win it all.
But hey, a lot of talented teams that could win it all. And we say that every year about a certain team here, Ryan, if I can transition any clunkier than that. The Bills are one of those teams, though, that legitimately has a shot every year. However, there's one team that constantly keeps slamming the door in their face, and I'm getting sick of the door pattern that is on my face. But they've had themselves a busy offseason. They've had to do a little bit of cap gymnastics. And now, though, you're looking at heading into the draft. It does seem like, for the most part, free agency, the moves that they've made are the moves that they've made. They still got to clear up a little bit of money for their rookie class, it looks like. But then you look at the starting roster, you look at the depth chart as it currently is heading into the draft, and it does look like they still have a little bit of work to do.
Yeah, 100% still have work to do. The one tech position stands out like a sore thumb. You want to address the defensive line just in general as much as possible. Cornerback two is still on that list. And while I really did like the addition of Joshua Palmer, I still think wide receiver is another area you want to address in this year's draft.
Ryan, when it comes down to it right now, as we're heading about a month away from the draft, a little bit more than that, what do you think the biggest need is if you needed to prioritize one position over the rest right now?
I guess I would go with cornerback just because the Bills historically under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have never really had that big space eater at the one tech. It's a great draft class for that. It's a deep draft class for defensive tackle in general. I would love a Kenneth Grant or a Tyleek Williams in round one or round two, for Williams' case, potentially early in round two. But right now, cornerback is the biggest issue, in my opinion. You know, you have Christian Benford on one side entering the final year of his contract. You'd like to believe that there will be an extension done, but the price of the cornerbacks just keeps going up. So that's going to be quite a bit of money they're going to have to invest in Benford. But then opposite that, you know, they have not re-signed Rasul Douglas. Douglas still sits out there in free agency. Dane Jackson was brought in. I look at Dane Jackson as just more of a depth, like a first guy off the bench. If there's an injury, that's fine. Really don't want him coming in this year and being in the running for cornerback too. But names are running out in free agency in terms of potential upgrades there. But if you look at the draft class, Trey Amos, Maxwell Hairston, there are some guys the Bills could target with one of their first picks of those top three that they have in the first 64 picks.
Ryan, when it comes down to it, with the draft, everyone's got their guys. What are some of Ryan Talbot's draft guys so that everyone knows a couple more names to put some chips down on here, so to say?
Yeah, I guess my number one guy would be Jalen Royals, wide receiver, huge fan of his game. I think the Bills can get him on day two of this draft class, maybe with their second-round pick. There's a lot of different talented receivers in terms of what you're looking for. So if he did fall into day three, wouldn't shock me. The Bills obviously do not have a third-round pick right now, but they could put some of their picks together, move up, move down with some of the round two picks, and make that work. But Royals is definitely my guy that I would love to see the Bills add at receiver. Huge on Kenneth Grant. I think Kenneth Grant, though, is a, you know, my guy for a lot of people. And then a local kid, obviously, Sean Dolak, I think out of UB, really showed a lot of people wrong with the way that he tested at UB's pro day. A real shame that he didn't get to any kind of, you know, showcase game after his college season ended. I understood the rationale of the Senior Bowl. He just didn't grade out high enough for them. But there's so many other bowls that missed an opportunity to get a player that I think can play in this league for a long time.
I will say the Sean Dolak thing, selfishly as a Bills fan, I feel like that could work in their favor because of the fact that the Bills would be one of those teams that gets a free visit with him because of the local, with how the rules work there. It wouldn't count toward their 30 pre-draft visits. But considering how well he tested on his pro day, now instead of, hey, maybe we can snag him in the sixth round or the seventh round, if the Bills want Dolak, they would actually probably have to look at the fifth round now because of how well he tested.
Yeah, I think that's a fair viewpoint. I mean, there is a point where people thought this kid could have been a UDFA, and I never thought that. I thought day three pick late, but after he tested so well, there's going to be a team that takes a flyer on him in round five, despite the size that they might have some questions about. The kid can just simply play.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ryan Talbot joining us here on the West Her Hotline. When it comes down to, for me, how deep this defensive tackle class is. Last year, this station, we had the wide receiver train. It may have gotten bigger than it needed to be, but, you know, we had it. This year, a little bit quieter in terms of it, but it's also because I want that one tech. I'm here to say the meat wagon is one of the cars that we attached to the train this year, Ryan. And just how deep is this class at the defensive interior?
So it's extremely deep. I think it's a little bit deeper at the three tech than the one tech, which that's fairly common in my opinion. But there's still a lot of talent to be had in those first three rounds at the one tech position. You know, we've already talked about Grant. Grant didn't necessarily even come close to reaching his ceiling at Michigan. I think that the athleticism jumps off the page when you watch him play. I think that his best football is yet to come. That will happen in the NFL. And then Tyleek Williams out of Ohio State, I think he's maybe a safer bet, a safer play at that one tech. And the Bills would be thrilled to have a player of that caliber, especially with, you know, DaQuan Jones getting older and needing a space eater there, someone that can really come in and be a day one contributor. But I would say after round three, it does thin out a little bit. You can still find a few players maybe early on day three, but that's going to be the bread and butter those first 2 days of the draft.
And one more here on the draft for a moment, Ryan. More or less being, for me, one of the my guys that I've got here is Nick Emmanuori. I think that he is a guy that can even flirt with being a late first-round pick here. I love his athletic score, and I think that the Bills could really use that center fielder type at safety, especially because they did bring back Damar Hamlin, and it looks like it's most of the same depth chart there with Cole Bishop, Taylor Rapp, and Damar Hamlin, but none of them screams a center fielder to me. And between Emmanuori and Xavier, blanking on the name there, Xavier Watts from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
I feel like those are guys that would really be able to help out the back end and give Sean McDermott another one of those Micah Hyde types back there.
I would be perfectly fine with that. It feels like the Bills in, you know, past years have just never considered a safety. And I know that a lot of it had to do with the Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer tandem in their heyday when they were in their prime. But you've seen, you know, a Brian Branch that they could have had a few years ago and the way that he impacts the Lions defense. So if you can go out and get an impact player at safety, I'm right there with you, because as much as they like Cole Bishop taking him in round two last year, there's still a lot of questions to be answered in terms of his game in the NFL. He had an injury that set him back a little bit, had some highs and lows for this team. Taylor Rapp, the injury concerns, always seems to get dinged up with that physical style. And DeMar Hamlin, no issues with DeMar Hamlin being a depth role type of player or even in the mix for one of those spots, but that is not a difference maker, like you said. And if at the end of round one, there's a safety that has a much higher grade for Buffalo than any of the D-techs, any of the cornerbacks, I certainly think it would make a lot of sense for them to go that route, because you do need a center fielder that can make an impact for you.
Ryan, expectation this year for the Bills. Last year was so unexpected with where they ended up. Even dropping that game to New England at the end of the season, no one really counts that as a loss. It is on the record, of course, but where do they stack up, do you think, in the AFC this season? Do the Bengals kind of come back into the picture? Is it more competitive? The AFC East is even looking more competitive. Where do you foresee them, in the same spot, better, or maybe a little, you know, little closer to the normal record prediction for them?
See, I think they're going to be just around the same spot that they were last year, believe it or not. I look at this AFC East, and you're right, the Patriots are getting a lot better. I think they are my pick to be second in the AFC East this year. I look at the Jets. They still have a lot of question marks. The Dolphins, we know how they end up usually late in the season. They got off to a slow start this year, Tua and the injury concerns. And then the AFC as a whole, it's going to be very interesting this year. You mentioned the Bengals. I still think the Bengals are going to have a lot of issues on the defensive side of the ball. Investing all that money in the wide receivers, you know, great players. I understand why you don't want to lose a T. Higgins and why you have to pay Ja'Marr Chase that type of money. But the offense was clicking pretty well last year, and we saw them go to 9-8, miss the playoffs altogether. So I'm not sure that they're necessarily going to be a contender at the top of the AFC this year, especially in the same division as the Ravens, who I expect to be excellent year in, year out. For whatever reason, the Steelers are always in that mix in that division too. And then the AFC West is going to be very competitive this year as well. So as much luck as the Chiefs had late in games last season, I don't necessarily see them being able to replicate that when you look at how well the Denver Broncos played down the stretch last year, and they should only get better. The Chargers should only get better. Even the Raiders, who I expect to be last in that division, are going to be more competitive with a competent coaching staff and some of the talent that they've brought in. So I could see the Bills being right in the mix for that number one seed in the AFC when all is said and done, because I still feel like they're rolling with quite a bit of the talent that they had last year. You had a Joshua Palmer at wide receiver who isn't blazing fast, but he creates separation with his route running and really does fit that mold of everyone eats. So I do really like where they're at on both sides of the ball. Just add a few difference makers on defense in this draft, and then, you know, let's get to September.
Ryan, when it comes down to with how free agency has gone, it was a little bit of a lackluster showing. A lot of trade targets that could have been people that you eye for the Bills either end up re-signing or they just straight up get released and then they go and get a nice contract somewhere else. What do you think, though, about how free agency has gone this year overall?
Yeah, it's been interesting. There have been some players where I thought the Bills were definitely going to bring someone back, and then they didn't. Mac Hollins obviously comes to mind. The prioritizing a Ty Johnson made a ton of sense to me, the way that he stepped up. It became a lot more than just a third down back. And now they've added some pieces in. In terms of some of the guys that they let test the market, Amari Cooper still sitting out there, and they're, you know, those anonymous articles that you see on ESPN Insider, someone saying that they think he's done in terms of his game. It looked like that at times last season. Didn't make nearly the impact that you thought he could potentially make with the Bills. I already mentioned. At cornerback, that they let some talent go, and Rasul Douglas is still sitting out there. So the Bills seem to have a good, you know, feel for when it's time to move on from certain players versus bringing them back and letting them stick around too long.
Of course, Ryan, last one while I've got you here, being that more or less, what was the most interesting move overall, I think, of this offseason for you across the entire league? I would say anything about like, oh, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go? Well, it looks like the league has made its decision on where he's going to go. Whether he wants to play in Pittsburgh is another thing. But what's the most interesting move that you've seen all throughout the offseason?
Oh, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, I don't know if I have one move that'd be more interesting than anything else. You know, I've seen the Patriots throwing a lot of money at players, and that's kind of common. Probably not the most interesting, but I love the way that the Eagles keep reinvesting in their defensive line. Olajari, who's flashed at times early in his career, coming in there on a pretty friendly deal. You saw how that paid off for the team in the Super Bowl with the way that they had so much talent across the starters and the depth there. So I'd probably go with something along those lines. I just love the way that they build up that roster year in, year out, always going to be competitive in what's now going to be a slightly more competitive division with the Washington Commanders there.
Ryan, I hope you enjoy yourself a fantastic weekend. And once again, plug it away in case people are hanging out under a rock. Let them know where to find your work.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on all of the social media sites at Ryan Talbot Bills. You can find my articles at Syracuse.com and NYUp.com. And you can find the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
Ryan, I appreciate you taking the time with us this morning, especially just to start off the show, kicking it right off with us. And thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
I appreciate that. That's Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate on the West Her Hotline as the Bills offseason rolls on here, and we're getting back into draft mode there. I like Ryan's guys there, especially with the fact that like he points out a wide receiver in day two in Jalen Royals that out of Utah State. A couple of years ago, he had a really productive season, 15 touchdowns. So if you can get a little bit of that profile back, he didn't play the full season last year. Maybe you get something out of him, hoping that, you know, the injury is a little bit of a one-off, and you get back to the production that he had a couple years ago in college at Utah State. So I'm starting to get to the my guys thing here, Joe, and starting to branch out of where those guys are in those first 2 days.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm pretty much starting to as well. I'm not the biggest draft guy until a couple weeks out, and I'm definitely there. It's exciting to be at this point in the year, and it's exciting also, just have to point out, the draft used to be such a stressful time, especially leading up to when Josh Allen was drafted, right? Mm-hmm. And even when Tre'Davious White was drafted the year before. You just think about it, the pressure that was on the Bills to draft the quarterback, right? The right guy, the franchise guy, and how everyone thought it wasn't the right move picking Josh Allen. Not everybody, but a good chunk of the population around here. They wanted Josh Rosen. And it's nice. The pressure's not off, but once you get that guy, I feel like the rest of the team kind of builds around it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and furthermore to that, the reason for that is because the Bills didn't have a quarterback. That's why it was stressful. That's why the draft was like this, oh my God, thing.
Even Tyrod Taylor was like, oh, we're doing another year with him. There we go. You know, like, oh, we're running with Tyrod this season.
Yeah.
And you made it to the playoffs. And it's like, oh, look at that.
And then they chose not to move on with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because they didn't have a quarterback. And it's not like you overlooked the draft, though, because
this is
how you make a roster is through the draft, especially now that Allen's on a big boy contract.
These young guys are what's able to build your team back up because you can't put everyone on a big contract.
And furthermore, for me, I think that this is going to be the most impactful draft class that they have in a long time. Mostly because if you don't hit, expect this team to actually taper off a little bit in Josh Allen's prime. And you need to restock a young core for this second window of sorts of Allen being here. Make sure the windows are staying open, and you had one core, they didn't get it done. This new core, there's some more pieces that need to add to it before we can call it a new core. So get yourself a star player, maybe two, I'm feeling greedy, And overall, I'd say get yourself six or seven solid players that can contribute within this season. That's going to be something that you need to do. Six or seven might be a bit much. But like, if you can get three or four guys that can make an immediate or quick impact for you, and you turn 10 picks into 7 or 8 picks, for example, if you make a trade up or anything like that, that's where the big deal is going to be here. And it's funny how Ryan mentions that Kenneth Grant is someone that's becoming an everyone's guy. Which, at this point, yeah, I think Zach started it with me, and then it's just being every time I'm asking anyone, hey, who do you like in the draft? Kenneth Grant is one of the names that people love to point out.
He's my top name for pick 30.
Which means everyone get ready to have your hearts broken. He's probably going like 17 or some nonsense like that. So, yeah. I'm now bracing for that, and that's why like the list has to grow a little bit. I'm branching out on the my guys and to see what's happening there. And Joe, you mentioned how like you don't really get into it until like the final few weeks. You know how we help out with that, though?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, you better know so. Next hour, we'll hit up a mock draft simulator before we talk to Trevor Howard. So,
yeah, there we go. We got the call about it this week. So yes. We had the answer. Yes. The bet signal went up.
The people ask, and I shall deliver. Next hour, we'll hit up a mock draft simulator just to get a little bit of an exercise in there and see what we've got going forward. But until then, we'll take a break. Come back. March Madness has been fun. It's been popping, and I think that we can have a nice little segment about that here heading into the second part of this first hour here, Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, we're back with you in a flash here on WGR.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.